Hare Krishna. Welcome again to our Sunday evening festivities here at our Hare Krishna temple. So we're going to be speaking on the Bhagavad Gita and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Somehow this little sentence came in front of me not too long ago that Albert Einstein had said. He said, "I want to know God's thoughts. Everything else is a detail." Very intelligent. The thoughts of God, very important. And everything else is a detail. So what are the thoughts of God? God is filled with love. Actually, he's always thinking of his loving devotees. Just like all of us, everybody in the world likes to have loving relationships. Everybody wants that. And you want to think of your object of love, and people are thinking of you, so this is natural. So these are the thoughts of God. He's always thinking of his loving devotees. So we also want to have this loving relationship with Krishna. This is actually the highest pleasure. Everybody is looking for pleasure also. And that's there in a loving relationship with God or Krishna. He says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Salabho Hriyam Mayam, Salabho Hriyam Tvaham, that I am within the heart of my devotees, and the devotees are within my heart. I know no one but my devotees, and my devotees know no one but me. So there's a very, very strong bind of affection there between Krishna and his devotees. So therefore he's always thinking of how to please his devotees. And his thoughts are also always pure. God is very pure. He's never contaminated by ignorance or passion or any of the modes of nature. He's very, very pure. And therefore, anyone who thinks of God, Krishna, also becomes pure. And when we're pure, we're actually satisfied. As long as we're impure, we're not satisfied. So another thing is that Krishna is always thinking of helping those who have fallen away. So therefore he actually comes. Krishna comes here to this world to help the conditioned souls who have left him. So therefore he is also the supreme philanthropist. He's always thinking of how to bring back his servants, his devotees. Excuse me, if there's a couple people back there that can stop the doors from slamming, because they make a lot of noise when they close, unfortunately. So he's also known as Para Dukaduki, which means when he sees someone suffering, he gives pain. He doesn't like to see others suffering. Therefore he comes to help relieve the suffering. And in our society, the most important activity within our society, actually, is to give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others. Because people are suffering due to lack of God consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he said the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. So our most important activity in our society is to give this knowledge out to others. Therefore, we distribute a lot of books. Every year, we distribute about 6 million books around the world. So it's very good. There used to be a saying that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Of course, now it does. But you can say that about the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. The sun never sets on the devotees of Krishna who are distributing Prabhupada's books. right now, books are being distributed. Actually, they found that every 7 seconds, one of Srila Prabhupada's books is being distributed to somebody. So, very auspicious. So Krishna also, he not only comes, but he sends his devotees also, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So many great devotees are sent by Krishna to help us. So he's very compassionate. Actually, Krishna, he has unlimited qualities. We can't count the qualities of Krishna, wonderful qualities. But the one quality that stands above all other qualities of Krishna is his compassion. He's very compassionate, very kind, very loving. So also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, there's 4 verses in the Bhagavad Gita called the Chatur Shlokas, most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So he says, Ahang Sarvasya Prabhava Matas Sarvam Pavartate Iti Madbhava Vantevam Buddha Bhava Samamata. So Krishna here, he's revealing not only his thoughts, but his activities. Ahang Sarvasya Prabhava, that he is the cause of all causes. Everything material, everything spiritual emanates from Krishna. So he is the cause of all causes, the beginning of everything. Now in the universities, in school in general, the students are taught that everything came from a Big Bang about 13 billion years ago, they say. Some chunk manifests. Where it came from, they don't know. Why it came, they don't know. But it came 13 billion years ago. Why it's not 15 billion years ago or 6 billion years ago, I don't know. A lot of speculation going on. So there's a Big Bang, right? There's chunk. So the chunk exploded. So generally when there's an explosion, what happens? Yeah, a mess. Chaos, right? That's a mess. You know, someone blows up, some stick of dynamite under a car, so it's just a big mess. You know? But from this Big Bang came all this incredible organization, the sun's going up and going down, and the moon and the stars and fruit trees and people and so many insects and just so many amazing things came out of a Big Bang. Not very likely, right? Just like imagine if we put a big pile of wood out here in the front of the temple, and you put a sink in there, and you put some wires in there, throw some pipes in there, and you put a big stick of dynamite in there, and you blow it up, and the wood goes flying up in the air, 300 feet, and it lands into a beautiful house. Yeah. So what they're saying with this idea, with this theory, is actually much more ridiculous than that. Because this universe, it's extremely organized. It's amazing. If it were to stop raining, everything on the planet would die. Eventually the oceans would dry up, everything. Without rain, everything is finished. If the sun were to go out of the, if it was just a mile further than it is now, everything would freeze here. If it were a mile closer, everything would burn up. Everything is so organized. So when there's something so organized, there's an organizer. Right? It's logical. So this is Krishna. He is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. He's the cause of all causes. Ahang sarvasya prabhu matas sarvam pavartate. Iti madva bhajantimam buddha bhavas. I'm the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotional service. So this is actually the goal of life, is to engage in devotional service. Not an easy thing, because to engage in devotional service means that we're pure. And the greatest challenge that any of us will ever face in life is to become pure. It's a big challenge, because we're conditioned to impurity, to material consciousness. We're actually prisoners of illusion. And the main illusion is that we think that we are this body. That we're a man, we're a woman, we're American, we're Spanish, we're Indian. It's a very deep illusion. So there's a way to get out of this illusion. In this age of Kali, it's described, Kalir Doshanud Heirajan Histi Hekam Angra, that in this age of Kali, there are many faults. But the one good quality of this age is that simply by chanting the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can become completely purified of all material desires and go back to the kingdom of God. But the quality is very important. The quality of the chanting. It's not that we just chant like a parrot. There's got to be feeling, right? Prabhupada gives the example of one man in India, small village in India. He wanted to learn English. Nobody in the village knew English. He had this desire to learn English. And one other man, he passed through his village and he found out that he knew English. So he said, can you teach me a little English? I want to learn English. He said, yeah, I'll teach you something, but I'm not going to be here very long, so I could just teach you a little bit. So he taught him, yes, no, very good. So he learned this from this man. He was very happy. Ah, I know some English now. He was very proud. I know English. Nobody else in the village knows what I know. So then he had this desire to go into the big city. Then he could really learn English. So somehow he got the money together and he went to the big city, some distance away. So he's in the city. He said, oh yes, now I'm going to learn English. I'll be sophisticated. So he goes into the city, and he happened to be in an area where there was a burglary. So there was police there and sirens, and he's like, he had never seen anything, you know, sirens, all this. So one policeman went up to him. He said, did you steal from this house? And the man very proudly said, yes. And, did anybody help you? No. He's speaking very good. I'm taking you to jail. Oh, very good. So, this is called mechanical chanting. he's speaking, but he doesn't know what he's saying. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we have to do it with feeling. We have to know what we're saying and do it with desire. Actually, when we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, we're praying for service. Please, Lord Krishna. Please, Srimati Radharani. Please, Lord Balaram. Engage me in your loving service. So this is what we're praying for. And it's very, very powerful mantra. Very powerful. It can completely purify the soul. Because the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. That's actually God. Srila Prabhupada just said, when you chant the name of Krishna, Krishna, he is dancing on your tongue. So it's very nice way to advance in spiritual life. And it's not difficult. You know, a lot of spiritual groups, you have to pay so much money, do so much austerity. But no, this is very, nice. One time a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you do for recreation in the Hare Krishna movement? So Srila Prabhupada said, well, we chant, we dance, and we take prasad. Yeah. That's what we do. That's our program. So we do a lot of chanting, a lot of dancing. We're probably the only people on the planet that sing and dance at 4:30 in the morning. There might probably some other people that are intoxicated, but I should say we're the only ones that aren't intoxicated that are singing and dancing at 4:30 in the morning. What a nice way to start the day, huh? So it's a very nice process of purification. So I mentioned to you the first verse of this, of these four main verses in the Bhagavad Gita. The next one is Machchitta Mudgata Prana Bodhyanta Parashram. He says that the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are very devoted to me. And they're always conversing with one another in great happiness about me. So devotees, they like to discuss the name, the form, the pastimes, the qualities of Krishna. Because this helps us become attached to Krishna. Just like now we're conditioned to material nature. We're conditioned to these bodies. We're conditioned to material consciousness. We're conditioned to these things. So the purpose of the human form of life is to get out of that conditioning and to become conditioned to always thinking of Krishna. To engage in devotional service. This is the goal. But like I said, it's difficult. Just like, to give you an example, prisoners, someone commits some crime, they go to prison. Sometimes they go to prison for 30 years, 20, 30 years. And when they're finally let out of jail, they can't adjust. Some of them commit another crime just to go back to jail because they can't deal with it. Being free. It's just, they're conditioned to being locked up and they just can't deal with it to be free. So now we're bound by material desires. So somehow, by the mercy of God, we have to become free and become attached to God. Then, when we leave the body, we can get out of this prison and go back to the spiritual world where there's complete freedom. So Krishna is very kind and he'll help us. He gives special mercy. I'll tell you one nice story. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had one disciple. And his father was also very favorable. But he had some vices. So he came to visit Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him, "Are you still smoking?" And the man put his head down and said, "Yeah, I'm still smoking." And the man then said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, isn't there special mercy? Doesn't God give special mercy?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh yes. Yasyaham anugrahami hrishita dinamishanai." Krishna says, "To show special mercy to my devotee, I take away all his opulence." And then his friends and family members think, "Ah, what is the use of this person anymore?" And they discard him. And then Prabhupada asked the man, "Do you want that special mercy?" "No, no, no, Prabhupada, I'll do it on my own." It's okay. So special mercy is there that Krishna, he takes away all of our attachments so that we can replace that with becoming attached to Krishna. Yeah. We're going to be attached to something. Yeah. known as an island or dead stone. We all have desires. Sometimes groups or they say, oh, the or some yogis, they say, oh, the goal is to become free of desire. But that's also a desire. To be free of desire is also a desire. We can't become free of desire. We have to purify our desires. And if we completely become pure, then our future is inconceivably bright. And if we choose not to be pure, we choose to stay here in this prison, then we have to stay here and experience the miseries of material existence. I'll give you another example of this. I would like to welcome a very senior devotee in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Dayananda Maharaj Ki Jai. So, I'll give you an example in this regard. There's a man, he's walking in the forest. So he's walking in this forest and there's tall grass, so he falls into a well. And as he's falling in this well, he catches onto something. And it happens to be a thick root going from one side of the well to the other. And he's thinking, whew, good thing this root is here. He's just saying, now what? So he's hanging there for a while. Then he looks down, and there's a huge, black, poisonous snake on the bottom. And then he's thinking, whew, really good thing that this root is here. But now he's hanging there. What to do now? So then he's there for a couple minutes, and he hears a roar above. And there's a lion staring down at him, roaring at him. And he's thinking, this must be a dream. This can't be possible. No, I'm awake. This can't be happening. It's unbelievable. So then he's hanging there and he hears some chewing. There's a black rat chewing on one of the roots, one side. He's thinking, where'd he come from? What's going on here? So then he's, just a few seconds later, he hears more chewing. There's a white rat chewing on the other side. And he's thinking, my God, this can't be happening. So he's hanging there like that. And then he feels a drop on his head about every 5 seconds. And he looks up. There's a honeycomb in the tree. He looks back. He sticks his tongue out. And he's getting these drops of honey. And then he thinks, hey, life isn't so bad after all. So this is material life. So the black snake on the bottom of the well, that's compared to death. Which happens to everybody. Was it death and taxes? Everybody's lined up. So we don't want to die, though, isn't it? Anybody here want to die? No. No one wants to. Oh, there's one. There's one. Actually, some people do want to die. People commit suicide. Every year in America, about 40,000 people. Well, why do they want to commit suicide? Because they're suffering due to other miseries. It's not that they want to die, it's just other things in their life are just eating at them so much they just can't deal with it anymore. They don't want to die, they just wish that things could have been adjusted that can't be adjusted, so therefore, let me finish my life. So people don't want to die. Why do they not want to die? Because we don't die. No one dies. The soul is eternal. Nothing can kill the soul. So the black rat is compared to night. And the white rat is compared to day. Ayur harti vaipung sang ujjan aschang chayanasai tasyarte yakshanamit uttama shlokavartya. For every rising and setting of the sun, a day is lost. Except for that person who utilized their time in glorifying the all-good personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna. So this is the way to utilize our days and nights, is thinking of Krishna, engaging in devotional service. Otherwise, we're wasting these valuable days. Janaka Pandit, he says, one cannot buy back even 1 second of time with all the wealth in the world. This time is very, very, very valuable. So don't waste it. Yeah. And the lion above, the lion carries Durga, who carries a trident that has 3 points on it, which resemble or which indicate the miseries coming from nature, miseries coming from our own mind and body, and miseries coming from other living entities. These are the main miseries in the material world that everyone experiences. Yeah. The main suffering in the material world is from our own mind and body. Stress is the main disease now throughout the country, throughout the world, actually. Stress. And from stress, so many other problems come. So the best way to become free of stress, even psychiatrists say this, psychologists, is meditation. The Hare Krishna mantra is the best meditation. So if you want to be free of stress and so many other problems, then chant this Hare Krishna mantra and you'll see an amazing change in your consciousness and in your life. So the honey that the man was taking, this is compared to material enjoyment. So much suffering going around, you get a little bit of pleasure, little honey. And therefore people spend so much energy to try to enjoy in this material world. Actually, everybody wants unlimited happiness, isn't it? Unlimited happiness that is always increasing, right? That's what we all want. Anybody disagree with that? No, we all agree, right? But in this world, the so-called happiness comes to a certain level and then downhill. Right? We've all had the experience. Yeah. Goes to a certain level, then it goes down. That's all there is in this material world. And therefore it's called Maya Sukhaya. It's illusory happiness. Again, prisons of illusion. So-called happiness that we think will give us pleasure won't really give us pleasure. There's actually a statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam that hara dipakari, which means that which you think will give you pleasure, will be the cause of your greatest suffering. Interesting. And you see that in the material world, the greatest pleasure is the pleasure that one experiences with the opposite sex. Right? That's the men are looking for the women, the women are looking for the men. So many relationships, right? But all the men that I've ever spoken to about the greatest pain that they've ever experienced was because of a woman. I haven't asked many women about this. I mean, it's probably similar. Yes or no? Yes, we've got women here saying, yeah, it's true. But this is the greatest pleasure in the material world, is this relation between man and woman. But it's the greatest cause of suffering. So, to establish this relationship with Krishna, it seems like it's something that's very far out and very vague and can't really get a grasp on it. But it is possible to have this relationship with Krishna. And this is the relationship that we're all looking for. This is the loving exchange that we're all searching for. Yeah. We'll become completely satisfied in this relationship with Krishna. Yeah. So, going on with this, with these slokas that I mentioned, the 4 chatra slokas, the next one is Tesam Sarak Yuktanam Bhajitam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Bhyantite. Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is another thought of Krishna. Or Krishna, he's revealing his mind here to us. This is how to go to him. By constant engagement in devotional service. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadinavatam. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that pure devotional service means no motivation, no material motivation, and uninterrupted. This is the highest position that one can achieve in the human form of life, to engage in unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to Krishna. Now, in the material world, we see that everybody has a motivation. You know, just like people are going to the universities, and some people are in universities to become doctors, and many people think, oh, that's very benevolent of you. You want to help people, and that may be there some, but a lot of it is also it's good business. That is there also quite a bit. So there's always some motivation there, some hidden motivation. But Krishna is omnipotent, omniscient. We can't hide anything from Krishna. He knows our motivations. He knows when we've been good. He knows when we've been bad. He knows everything. So we can't hide from Krishna. But we can pray to Krishna for this pure desire to serve him. And he explains also in the Gita how to think of him. Just to give you an idea also of how great Krishna is. He says, Kaving Pranam Anushasataram Anorani Yangsam Anusmritya Sarvashidataram Achintirupam Adityavarnam Tamasa Parashtat. That Krishna, he's so great that he knows everything. One time I was distributing books, and I approached one man, and I said, so what kind of work do you do? And he said, well, I'm God. Okay, that's a pretty big position you got there. So I said, well, one of the qualities of God is that he's omniscient. He knows everything. Can you tell me what I'm thinking? He said, yes. You're thinking that I'm a rascal. And I said, you know, that's pretty good. You're right. But I was also thinking of a number. Can you tell me that? I said, no. So there's a lot of cheating. There's a lot of people. Srila Prabhupada used to say that there's so many countries that are doing export business. India's main export is gods. You know, every couple months there's another god being exported. So unfortunately in the West we're a little naive about this, so we buy into it. So Krishna, he knows everything. Very intelligent. There's one man here now on the planet, his name is Kim Young. And he's considered to be the most intelligent person on the planet right now. He's got an IQ of 210. 3 years old, he was able to speak four languages fluently. Very intelligent. 16 years old, he got his PhD in physics. Very intelligent. But if you ask Kim Young, who are you? He's from Korea. I'm sure you'd say he's from Korea. I'm Korean. But here we have the most intelligent person. Of course, he may be a very religious person. Actually, I shouldn't assume. He may be a religious person. I don't know his personal character. But an intelligent person is someone who knows, who realizes, I am not the body. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. There was one great devotee, Sanatana Goswami, who was one of the great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was also extremely intelligent, and people used to praise him so much as being so intelligent. But he asked Lord Chaitanya, Kayami, who am I? They say I'm so intelligent, but I don't know who I am. Please tell me who I am. So this is intelligence. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, an intelligent person will ask three things. Why am I here? What's the goal of life? What happens at the time of death? These are three very intelligent questions. And Krishna, he answers these questions in the Bhagavad Gita. So Kaving Pranam, he's the oldest person. Yeah. But in some religions, they depict God as being very old and also looking very old. He's got a gray beard and it's wrinkled and may need a cane or something. Arthritis, maybe. But no, God, although he's the oldest, Krishna is the oldest person, but he's still the most beautiful. Never yovanam cha. He's ever youthful. He never looks like he's over 16. Sweet 16, right? Very beautiful. Very attractive. All the girls are attracted to him. Everyone is attracted to him. So beautiful. Can't imagine how beautiful he is. Aishwaryasya samagrasya. He's very opulent. He has six opulences. Also, he's very strong. There's another person on this. Well, actually, he passed away. Mark Anderson. He lifted the most weight ever recorded. He lifted 6,200 pounds on the back lift. You know, they put a weight on your back, and he just stood up. You know. A lot of weight. But Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill. On his little finger, nonchalantly. I mean, I don't know how heavy that hill was, but I'm sure it was heavy. You know? Tons and tons and tons. He very nonchalantly just lifted it up. For how long? 7 days. He didn't get tired. The cowherd men said, listen, Krishna, you know, you've been holding the hill for so long. Why don't you take a break? Let the cowherd boys massage your arm for a while, and we'll hold up the mountain for a while, okay? And Krishna said, all right, that sounds good. So he just, you know, sometimes you see pictures of the sticks holding up the hill, right? So Krishna just let a fraction of the weight of Govardhan go upon the sticks of the cowherd men. And then they said, oh, all right, Krishna, you can take it over again, yeah? Couldn't hold that weight. So Krishna said, okay, I'll hold it again. It's very strong. And Krishna is also known as Satya Sankalpa, that whatever he wants, it just happens. And therefore all this creation has happened just by the desire of Krishna. This is the power of God. Just by his desire, everything is happening. Yeah. Amazingly. Yeah. So beauty, wealth, strength, detachment. Krishna is very detached also. He's created this so many universes, but he never, you know, he comes every once in a while, he comes, you know, but he's in Goloka Vrindavan. He's happy in the spiritual world. And we also can be happy in the spiritual world. That's actually where we'll be completely satisfied. Srila Prabhupada wrote this one book called Easy Journey to Other Planets. Maybe some of you have heard of this. Actually, this is the first book that was printed and distributed, if I'm not wrong. Maybe the first canto. Anyway, it's one of the early books. So Prabhupada was distributing this book while he was in India, before he came to America. And he distributed one to one Indian gentleman. And this Indian gentleman, he saw Srila Prabhupada a month after he read the book. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, in this book it says that when we become purified, we go back to the spiritual world and we never come back here again. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, that's correct. He said, no, I'm not interested. Because Prabhupada, you could see, he was thinking that, well, if I go to the spiritual world and I don't come back, that means I can't tell my family members and I can't brag, I can't boast about my going to the spiritual world. Saying, I'm not interested. So this is the situation. And here, Krishna, he's giving guidance on how to go to the kingdom of God, where there's no death, there's no old age, there's no birth, there's no anxiety. Vaikuntha. And who's interested in going? Practically nobody. This is the situation. This is Maya. Prabhupada gives an example of King Indra. He was cursed to become a pig by one sage. So he had to give up his post as king of heaven. So he came to earth and he was a pig. So after being here for a while, he met a nice, attractive female pig. And they had a family, little piglets, hogs died. But things weren't going too good in the heavenly planets. So Lord Brahma, he kind of worked things out and he had the curse reduced because things weren't being managed so good in heaven. So he came down to earth and he said, Indra, listen, I've reduced the curse. You can come back to heaven now. And Indra said, what? You want me to leave my wife? I have my kids here. Are you crazy? There's such loving relationships here. You want me to leave all this? And Brahma could see, wow, Maya is really strong. This is the power of Maya. Here's a place where we're all lined up to die and there's so much misery that's coming from our mind and body and other living entities, and now the financial crisis and, who knows what's going to happen down the road. But Maya's so strong, it's not so bad. It's all right. So, no. This is Maya Sukhaya. The real happiness is in devotional service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So on that note, is there any question? Yes. How do we purify our desires? Yeah, I mentioned that we can't. Let me take a little swig from this. I got a bad throat. One of the miseries of this world, right? Yeah, we can't give up desire, as I mentioned. We have to purify desire. So the best way to purify our desire is to hear about Krishna. To hear about what Krishna wants. It's like this, Einstein, very intelligent, question, what are the thoughts of God? What is the desire of God? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains his thoughts, his desires, what he wants of us. In this verse I mentioned, Kaving Pranam Anusasataram, Krishna explains to her, this is how to think of me. This is how to get purified, how to purify our desires. First you have to understand the greatness of Krishna, the insignificance of ourselves, and engage in devotional service. And when we do understand the greatness of Krishna, then we'll want to serve him. So Krishna, he knows everything. He's the oldest person. Kaving Pranam Anusasataram. Anusasataram means that he's the supreme controller. He's controlling everything. He's smaller than the smallest. He's greater than the greatest. Anorani Yangsam Anusmritya. Sarvasya Dataram, Achintya Rupam, he's maintaining everything. He's giving us everything that we need. Food and clothing and sun and everything that we're receiving is given to us by God. Achintya Rupam, he's unlimited. He's inconceivable. His form is just, he has unlimited forms, and his form of Krishna is amazing. Everything about Krishna is amazing. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat, that he cannot be bewildered by the illusory energy. He's always pure. And he's effulgent. He's very effulgent, very, very attractive. He's so attractive that the gopis, the most dear devotees of Krishna, they cursed. They considered Lord Brahma to be a dunce. Because he created their bodies with eyelids. They couldn't see Krishna for that moment that the eyes closed. Now during this class, all of us have blinked our eyes hundreds of times and we don't even notice. Right? But the gopis, they noticed. They really noticed. So much so that they cursed Lord Brahma as a dunce. Because they couldn't see the beauty of Krishna. So beautiful. Everything about Krishna is so beautiful. He plays the flute. He's the best musician. Can't imagine to hear the flute of Krishna. Everything about Krishna is so attractive. So the more we hear about Krishna, the more we chant the names of Krishna, The more we associate with the devotees of Krishna, the more our desires become purified. Okay? Let's see if there's another question before. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. Okay, so the question is, how will people understand this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, this sublime knowledge? Well, some people won't understand anything. Unfortunately. And some people understand something. But Srila Prabhupada said anybody that takes a book benefits. If they just touch a book, they benefit because it's Krishna. So some people will benefit more and some people will benefit less. But if you're distributing books, it's all glorious. It's the most glorious thing. Actually, Prabhupada, Krishna, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita another of his thoughts. You know, Einstein's wondering, what is the thoughts of God? So he says, Ya idang paramang guyang. He said, there is no one in creation more dear to me than that person who is distributing the message of Bhagavad Gita. So he's expressing his thought there, that what pleases him the most is to distribute this knowledge to others. That's the sure way to get the favorable glance of Krishna. Good way to purify the heart too. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.